I want to, well, first of all, invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, and we're going to start with chapter 9 here shortly, but let me open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, we present ourselves to you for worship and to learn from your word. I just pray that what I have to share this evening will glorify you, and that that it may meet somebody's need this evening. I just thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share. And again, we just pray for Brother George and his family while they're absent this evening. And thank you so much for being with us now during this time. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my message this evening is on Mephibosheth. And Carol said, who? It's Mephibosheth, spelled M-E-P-H-I-B-O-S-H-E-T-H. You know, you just have to wonder, did the guy have a nickname? What did they call him, you know? So, anyway, Mephibosheth. I'm going to play 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to be looking at a few other passages here, but it's 13 verses, and I'll just play the whole thing and then come back and comment on it after a while. 2 Samuel chapter 9.
2 Samuel chapter 9.
And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet.
I thought about giving this a subtitle of a blessed dead dog. And that's, you know, we hear Mephibosheth refer to himself as a dead dog here. Sometime after I was saved as a teenager, I heard a message preached in the youth group at the Baptist church I was going to at the time, and the message was about Mephibosheth. And you know, this was a Bible story that I hadn't heard before. Of course, at that time there were a lot of Bible stories I really hadn't heard, but this one really touched me. I was touched by this story of Mephibosheth. You know, how amazing is it that King David took in a man with a handicap and provided for him to eat at the king's table? You know, when I think about my own life, it's humbling to think that the Lord made it possible for me, a blind person, to be one of his children, you know, a child of the king. Wow. His grace and mercy can just bring me to tears. And today we'll look into Mephibosheth's story. And we're actually introduced to him back in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, if you want to turn back there. He became lame at the age of 5, and this is a sad beginning. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4 gives us some background here. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Well, so Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle, and Mephibosheth's nurse ran away with him to try to escape the turmoil in the aftermath of the king's death. She was trying to protect him, but somehow he fell, or she fell carrying him, and he was badly injured to the point of being crippled for the rest of his life. He was likely disqualified to compete as for the position of king of Israel. You know, the people needed an able-bodied king to lead them into battle. Well, it was a number of years later when David met Mephibosheth. He had become a full-grown man, and he'd been living in the household of a man named Maker, as it tells us in chapter 9. And Maker may have been a wealthy man, and we draw that conclusion because his name is mentioned later on in 2 Samuel 17, 27 to 29. Now, you don't have to turn there, but there in chapter 17, we notice that Maker and a few others brought food and supplies to King David and those that were with him. This was a time when David and others were in exile from Jerusalem because of David's son, Absalom, had rebelled and took over the kingship for a while. So we can only speculate, but in the household of Maker, Mephibosheth may not have lacked anything that he needed. Also, he had had his own son by the time that he met King David here in 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're not told more about the kind of life that he led, but it evidently didn't preclude him from having a family. It's important to take a step back and notice why David took in Mephibosheth. And it goes back to the time before David was king. David and King Saul's son Jonathan had a rare kind of friendship. Back in 1 Samuel 18, verse 3, they made a covenant with one another, and then in chapter 20, they agreed to look after each other's descendants. Now, this was no short-term commitment, and it was also an unusual agreement because Jonathan was looking out for David, and you remember Saul considered David to be his enemy. And also, Saul thought Jonathan should be next in line to take the throne, not David. Well, God had other plans, as we know. So that brings us up to 2 Samuel chapter 9. As I said, a number of years had gone by, and David remembered the covenant that he made with Jonathan, and he meant to keep his word. He wanted to show a descendant of Jonathan the kindness of God. Well, one thing leads to another, and Mephibosheth was brought before King David. And Mephibosheth showed reverence to David. And, he referred to himself as a dead dog, as I mentioned earlier. You know, what could the king possibly want with him, right? You know, he wasn't fit for much physically, but a meeting with the king wasn't something to be taken lightly. And David assured him that he had nothing to fear. David awarded Mephibosheth with all of Saul's estate. And if that wasn't enough, Mephibosheth would be allowed to eat at the king's table in the royal palace. He'd be treated like one of David's own sons. You know, what an incredible honor. So David made sure that Mephibosheth was well provided for. And this is where we see Ziba enter the picture in a significant way. He had been a servant of King Saul. And earlier in this chapter 9, we learned that Ziba was the one who told David's people that Mephibosheth was indeed a son of Jonathan. Ziba had apparently become wealthy in his service to Saul. He had 15 sons and 20 servants. David wanted to put them to good use. He assigned Ziba to put his resources to use for his purposes in caring for Mephibosheth. David put his own leadership skills to work here, and he delegated this responsibility to Ziba to help care for Mephibosheth. Ziba and his family and his servants, they would grow food for Mephibosheth to eat on that land that, they would work the land that had belonged to Saul. Well, notice that David did not take in Mephibosheth because he had pity on him because of his physical handicap. David intended to keep his commitment to Jonathan. And it didn't matter what kind of shape a descendant of Jonathan was in, you know, and a key point to note here is that David didn't see Mephibosheth as unworthy or less than deserving in spite of his physical malady. Now, you know, that's not to say that David didn't think about Mephibosheth with regard to his lameness. He knew that the man couldn't provide for himself, so he made the necessary accommodations by recruiting Ziba and his sons and his servants. But again, it wasn't the handicap that caused David to elevate Mephibosheth to a place at the king's table. Mephibosheth was not entitled to eat in that special place because he had two lame feet. That's the point here. He was awarded his position because David intended to show mercy to a son of Jonathan. Now, you know, he could have had him killed, you know. If Mephibosheth had been physically whole, he might have become a threat to David in the battle for the throne. There had already been trouble earlier from another son of Saul in the aftermath of Saul's death. And you can read about that in the first few chapters of 2 Samuel, if you're so inclined. For David to take in a grandson of Saul, well, that could have been a dangerous thing. Instead, because of Mephibosheth's circumstances, Mephibosheth was truly grateful to David. He was no threat. Now, all of this illustrates some spiritual truths, which I'll mention shortly. But first, let me go down a little bit of a rabbit trail here. You know, God has a reason for making you and me the way that he has. Somehow, also, he has a higher purpose in allowing our bodies and minds to change, you know, drastically as we grow older. And we may not fully understand all this until we're face to face with our Lord one day in heaven. Maybe you remember what God told Moses in Exodus 4, verse 11, and you don't have to turn there. Moses was complaining about what he thought were his inadequacies. He was trying to make the claim that he had a disability that would keep him from serving the Lord. He was afraid, and he was thinking of himself when he raises objections to God. And here's what God told Moses at that time in 4:11. And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Well, you know, none of us are 100% physically whole, right? But, you know, whether you have a physical disability or not, don't use your particular situation as an excuse to weasel out of obeying and serving the Lord. And, you know, this hits me right where I live, you know. It's true we don't all have significant physical disabilities in common, but here's what we do have in common. We stand before God the same way that Mephibosheth stood before King David. We're helpless before God. and we deserve to die. But just as David was merciful to Mephibosheth, so God is merciful to us, and even more so. When we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, you know, we're treated like sons and daughters of the King, because we become sons and daughters. And this to me is really humbling. You know, why the Lord chooses any of us, disabled or otherwise? You know, it's because it pleases Him to do so. And He does all things according to His purposes and for His glory, not because we're somehow deserving or entitled to His marvelous mercy and grace. Well, we can rejoice in this. You know, this is a powerful message, you know. And I could just stop right here. But this isn't the end of the story of Mephibosheth. Turn to 2 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 4. And Ziba enters the picture again. He makes an appearance before David, but this time it's without Mephibosheth. Now, David, again, this is a situation where David is on the run from Absalom. And Ziba brings him some supplies and some food. But watch what Ziba says about Mephibosheth here.
2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4.
And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king.
Well, this looks bad for Mephibosheth. You know, it appeared that he forsook David because Ziba said that he was hoping that the kingdom would be restored and maybe given to him. Well, Ziba, who had originally served as a servant of Saul, did his best to look good in David's sight. And David didn't question his loyalty at this time. He believed Ziba, and rashly he gave him everything that had belonged to Mephibosheth, all of that Saul's estate and so on that had been given to him before. Well, so we see Ziba again, with his sons and his servants mentioned in chapter 19 and verses 15 to 18. We won't take the time to read those right now, but Ziba and his family were part of a large party that escorted King David across the Jordan River when he was finally able to go back to Jerusalem after Absalom was dead. Well, once again, Ziba's intentions were masked by an act that showed favor toward David. But it's verses 24 to 30 that we want to focus on here in chapter 19. Verses 24 through 30.
2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 24 through 30.
And Mephibosheth the son of Saul came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house.
So we get a different picture of Mephibosheth at this point. He had not betrayed David. He knew full well that David was his benefactor. Ziba had tricked Mephibosheth, and he had slandered Mephibosheth whenever he had spoken to David earlier. Well, so Mephibosheth, you know, we get the idea that he was kind of scrubby looking here whenever he saw David at this point. He'd been in mourning for David. And when David heard what he had to say, he showed mercy and offered to divide Saul's estate rather than let Ziba keep it all. Well, Mephibosheth didn't care about that. You know, he was just thrilled that the king could return in peace after all the turmoil caused by Absalom's rebellion. Now, the story could end happily here, you know, with everything patched up between David and Mephibosheth. But as the telemarketers and, you know, the TV people might say, but wait, there's more. There's one more incident here to take note of in the life of Mephibosheth. David showed mercy to him on one other occasion that we're told about. Mephibosheth would survive in the midst of intrigue and revenge. And it's described for us in 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 9. And I'll just summarize it for you, and then we'll look quickly at one verse here. We have to go back a ways, way back to the book of Joshua for the story of the Gibeonites. You don't have to turn there. But Israel was tricked into making a pact with the Gibeonites. You might remember they pretended to be from a faraway country, and Joshua and the Israelites agreed to protect them rather than wipe them out while they were conquering people in the new land. Well, Israel fell for the deception because they hadn't sought the Lord's counsel. Well, so much later then, during Saul's reign, Saul was zealous. He was going to try to make everything right, and he was going to wipe out the Gibeonites. Well, the Lord was not pleased with this, and he sent punishment by way of a famine to Israel for 3 years. So David inquired of the Lord, and then he found out what this was all about. He went to the Gibeonites, and he wanted to know what he could do to make things right with them. And the Gibeonites asked that 7 of Saul's descendants be killed, and David complied. Oddly, one of the 7 who were executed was named Mephibosheth. Now, how many times do you think you're going to see Mephibosheth in the Bible, right? But this isn't the Mephibosheth that we're talking about. Verse 8 tells us here in 2 Samuel 21 that this was a different Mephibosheth. He had a different mother. This is a different man than one we've been looking at here. It's just odd that you see two people named Mephibosheth, such an uncommon name like that. Anyway, verse 7 says, but the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. David was merciful to Mephibosheth to the last. Now, you know, God is merciful to us all the way to the end. You know, think about it. How many times has God shown mercy to each of us? More times than we know, more times than we can count. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have a physical handicap or disability of some kind, you know, when it comes to being a recipient of God's grace. It's an honor when we're chosen by grace to be one of God's children. And as with Mephibosheth, it isn't the disability that gives us entitlement to God's love and mercy. You know, God does what he does for his glory and not ours. He honors his word. And, you know, with that said, it's wonderful to know that God doesn't count out those of us that do have various disabilities. And it makes me want to be his servant. I want to be in closer relationship with Christ the King. I want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I certainly hope you can say the same thing. Now, let me bring my thoughts to a conclusion here. Looking back, Mephibosheth had been living well before he was given a place in the palace. But King David gave him even a better life. In a similar way, think of how this might apply to us. You know, as Americans, we have it pretty good, right? And that has an impact on our spiritual lives. First world prosperity can make us soft and self-satisfied. You know, we could settle for the things of this world. You know, we could do that, but we would be distracted from living a victorious Christian life. Or the other choice is take what the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, has to offer us. Because what he gives us is ultimately so much better. Think of Christ's invitation in Revelation 3, verse 20, to have one-on-one fellowship with him. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Well, praise God. You know, if you're a child of the King, we'll eat together at the King's table. Now, you know, we enjoy a lot of great blessings in the here and now, but wait until we get to heaven. And, you know, if you're listening to me now and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, why wait? Admit your helplessness before God as a sinner. Ask God to forgive you, because you can have new life as a child of the King. God is faithful. He'll keep his promises. Don't miss out on the blessings that God gives to those who put their trust in him. Let's stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the time that we've had together. We thank you for this wonderful illustration of King David and Mephibosheth. And we are just so humbled and so blessed. We can't wait to be with you, and we know that Christ is eager to be with us, because he said in John 14 he was going away to build a place for us. We look forward to that time that we can be together. In the meantime, help us to look to you. Help us to continue to trust in you, whatever comes our way. And we just praise you for your wonderful mercy and your grace. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.